So before we get into the Word of God, let's just have a short time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us to focus on you this morning. Let us focus on Jesus and his resurrection and the hope that he gives each and every one. Help us to focus right in, Lord, on your word. And I pray that each one of us will have something to take away from them in their heart this morning. Something of the resurrection. Something of the hope that Jesus gives. Lord, your word is a living word. It is a living hope. And let us take away that hope with us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm just going to begin by reading from Luke chapter 24. Now I'm going to probably going to use quite a lot of scriptures this morning, but that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because that is the Word of God. And that is something that is trustworthy. And that is something to be elevated. So Luke chapter 24, and beginning from verse 13. Now behold, two men were traveling that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all of the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, this is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the woman said, but him they did not see." So, church, why do we... This is two rhetorical questions. Think about them. Don't respond. Why do Christians celebrate Christmas and Easter every year? There are only two prescribed ordinances in Scripture, and Christmas and Easter is not among those. So why do we celebrate Christmas and Easter every year? May I suggest it's because they both bookend the life of Jesus whilst he was on the earth. Two glorious events. One was his birth, and the one that we will be looking at today, there was his death and burial, but also his resurrection. But as we look and focus in on the resurrection this morning, here's another question I want to pose. What makes Christianity unique? Some scoffers might say that Christianity is no different from any other religion. Yeah, nah. Some scoffers might also say that all roads lead to Rome, meaning that it doesn't matter what path that you go on, which God you serve, it will all lead you to the same place in the end. Yeah, nah. Some also might say that Christianity is a system of do's and don'ts. It's been designed to control people, to keep them in line. Yeah, nah. So what is it that makes Christianity so unique? Well, here's some things, and this is only just a short example, a few examples. I thought of more, but just to keep the time brief. How about this one? God is both one God and three persons in one. Christianity is the only one that believes that. God in Jesus became a man. There's another one. Well, how about this? God in Jesus was both fully man in the flesh, but at the same time, he was also fully God in the spirit. And lastly, most unique to Christianity is that this Son of God was raised from the dead. His resurrection was a permanent resurrection. The resurrection can be looked at as the most important event in all of human history after the creation. No matter what event that you might think is important, whether that be from sending man to the moon, for example. Now, that was quite an event, but it's not even close to the event of the resurrection of Christ. Or how about the discovery and the implementation of electricity? Look how much electricity has changed all our lives, quite tremendously. But that is nothing compared to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, there is no, and I meant that no in a good way, no, there is no event in all human history that is as important as the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So let's find out why. You see, there were two men that were walking along a road to a small town called Emmaus. Now, this was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they were walking and discussing the recent events, Jesus joined them. But when he did, they didn't recognize him. Their eyes were being restrained supernaturally. But in verse 17, Jesus asked them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk? And why are you sad?" They replied that Jesus, whom they followed, was a prophet. He was mighty indeed. He spoke with authority. But then that their chief priests, the religious rulers, had him put to death. And it seems that their hope had all but vanished at that point, because Jesus' tomb was empty and his body was gone. And in verse 21 we read, "But we were hoping that he was going to be the one to restore Israel." You see, they were sad because they did not have hope. They had hope in Jesus. They had followed. They followed him in his ministry. They saw the miracles. They heard his preaching. But when he died, it seems that their hope had died with him. See, Jesus had a profound effect on many. They believed that he was the promised Messiah. But a dead Messiah is no Messiah at all. And then we read that Jesus opened up the scriptures to them. The men, you see, they didn't have a full picture. They only saw up to the point that he was crucified and his body laid to rest. And of course, as we read, that his body was not there when they went to inspect. But Jesus explained to them that Christ needed to be crucified, that he needed to die. But that wasn't absolutely the end of the story. You see, there were hundreds who heard Jesus preach. But when he died and when he was crucified, their hope also must have died and perished at that point. You see, this tells us that even though Jesus did all these great works, that in their mind, he could have been like any other great leader. Any other great leader in antiquity with a great following. That all, at some point or another, must die. So what is at the heart of this ultimate hopelessness? Is it not when you realize that you are not in control of your destiny? You might have some influence of the things that go on in your life as you journey through life. But according to God, sin and death are the enemy, and they are at the root of the problem. And you can't escape sin and its penalty, death. It's a penalty that affects all mankind. You see, dear friends, death is certain. It will come for each and every one of us. Why do we have death then? Why do we have people that have to die? Why do we have loved ones that die? Surely that is the most painful of pains to bear. But the scriptures make it clear. In Romans, in chapter 5, it says this in verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So death, it seems, is part of the human condition. Death comes because of sin. See, there could be no solution without God. What could man do to redeem himself? Who, O Lord, could save themselves, as the song goes? Who could save themselves from sin? And who has the power over death? Thanks be to God for Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. But Paul tells us that Christ has dealt with our sin. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 says this. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. I'll read that again. This is what Paul says to the Corinthian church. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. So here's the death, the burial, and in verse 4, he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Only the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross then could provide a real and a permanent solution. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross fixes the root of the problem. And that root, that problem, is sin. And when we consider that, we realize what Jesus Christ went through on the cross, we will realize that sin is not cheap. It took nothing less than the death of the sinless Son of God on the cross to fix a problem that man could not have done. God alone was able. And I might encourage you, dear friends, to, if you have the time, to read through 1 Corinthians 15. Because in that chapter, it really deals with all of the issue of death and how it is sin that's at the root of it. And it goes all the way back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden, and to the sin through Adam and through Eve. 1 Corinthians 15. But what should be clear by now is that it is sin that causes death. You see, no other religion, or atheistic science for that matter, can tell us why we have death, much less how they would overcome death. And certainly none have the power to overcome death. You see, science, even how, with all its knowledge that's accumulated over the centuries, merely observes the observable, but can offer no solution. Death should not be sidestepped. God created life. He created the universe and everything in it. It is mankind who sinned and brought death into the world, and by extension, into God's very creation. When mankind sinned, he brought death into the world, and all of creation fell with it. But thanks be to God again that he did not abandon us. So what is the fix? And how can people, if at all, receive that solution to this problem, this permanent solution that death has visited us since the beginning? Well, resurrection, as it turns out, is the resolution. It is resurrection from the dead permanently and forever. Now, you might remember that there were people in the New Testament and the Old Testament that were raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter was one that we read about in the New Testament. We read of Lazarus, Jesus' friend, was raised from the dead. But to this day, they are still dead. But Jesus, as we will come to see, is the first fruits of a permanent and living hope, all through his resurrection. You see, the resurrection of the dead is hard to accept. Don't believe me? Go out into the high street. Go up to anyone, say, you know that mankind has been plagued with death for generations, since the beginning. But I can give you a solution to that. I can give you some hope in the gospel. Do you want to hear the gospel message? Most might say, yeah, nah, and just walk on. So we're talking about a solution that mankind has been plagued with since the beginning. And you know the response that you will get from most if you go into the street and say that you have a solution. Would you like to hear that solution? All they need to hear is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's all they need to hear. And then there are people in churches, believe it or not, today, that would deny the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Despite the clear teachings of Scripture, teachings even a child could understand, they don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord. But they had this problem going back even into the first century church. And Paul had to deal with it. And he had to deal with those claims that people were making that there is no resurrection from the dead. So let's go back once more to 1 Corinthians 15. And from verse 12 it says this. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, How do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? How? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we were found to be false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. And here's the crucial verse, verse 16. But if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You see, the resurrection is absolutely central to the Christian faith. It's absolutely central to the gospel message. And that's why Paul, the apostle, he tackles this head on. He lays it on the line. He gives no quarter for anyone to come in and change the gospel in any way, shape, or form. It is central to the gospel message. The resurrection is the fulfillment of God's plan. God had been planning throughout all the centuries, all the generations, everything that the prophets spoke, everything that they shared amongst the people, everything that Scripture has told us about, everything that God has done providentially, all comes to this point where Jesus went to the cross, that he died, was buried, but on the third day he rose again from the dead. And his aim was to redeem and to restore mankind. You see, it was that sin that separated us from God. It didn't separate us from his love, but it separated us spiritually. And we, because of that sin, we were enemies of God. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none that can be said to be perfect and without sin. We all need what Jesus died for on that cross. He died to redeem all of mankind from their sins. In Jesus, on the work that he did on that cross, has freed us from sin and from death. And through it, through faith in him, through Jesus alone, that we have a promise of eternal life in him. And it's through that resurrection. There can be no resurrection if there is no death. And without the resurrection, Jesus is still dead. And we have no hope and no life after death if there is no resurrection. We have nothing to look forward to. What a desperate situation that would be. To go through this life, to have no hope, to be in this world without God and have no hope. But Paul makes it clear again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. Here's the good bit. You've endured all the death bits up to this point. Here's the good bit. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You see, there is life after death. There is life in Jesus Christ. Because he has risen, he gives this hope to each and every one of us. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 15, I told you there's going to be a lot of scriptures this morning. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so Christ is made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after those who are Christ's at his coming. You see, What I think is most amazing is that God gives us all the information that we need to understand life's most fundamental issues. Outside in the world, they go around, they scratch their heads, they don't understand. In fact, you may even hear people that aren't of the Lord, that just have turned their back on God, they may say to themselves, it is the Christians that don't have all the information. That is the Christians that are the foolish ones, that are grasping after the wind, chasing pie in the sky ideals. And yet, what I read and what we have heard this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that we have from God detail given to us, explaining to us why we have death in our midst. But more so, he just doesn't leave it there. Just like as we hear every time we have communion, where we remember that Jesus died. And we often say, do we not? But that's not the end of the story. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we hear about death and why we have it. But Jesus also, the Lord, through Jesus, shares with us the picture of resurrection and the hope that is in him and in everlasting life. So there is no need for us to fear death. You have an eternal future to look forward to. Christ died that you might have life. And if you are born again this morning, that's not an event that you have to look forward to after we pass. That event took place as soon as you had your faith in the Lord. When we come to lay down our bodies, that is just but a threshold, a little blip. But we now, today, walk in eternity with God. And our relationship with God will be unbroken. Even when it comes for that time where we do lay our bodies down, our flesh, we will still be with the Lord. It will not break. That relationship continues and will never end. Back to the journey then of the men that were on the road. You see, they were sad. They heard about Jesus, they followed Jesus, and they had their hope in Jesus. But after the crucifixion, they knew that his body was no longer there, and they were sad because in their eyes, all was lost. But when Jesus opened up the scriptures to them, he explained how it was necessary for the Son of God to suffer and to be crucified, but then on the third day, be raised from the dead to die no more. Then he broke bread with them. Their eyes were opened. At the breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened. And they recognized him as Jesus, the Lord and their Savior. But no sooner had they recognized him, he disappeared from before their very eyes. Going back to Luke, this is what it says. They had a conversation with one another after he disappeared. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures to us? Dear friends, what would it be like to have walked on the road alongside Jesus and have him audibly hear in his words in our ears? But they said, their testimony is, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures to us? So they rose up early in the hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 apostles. Those who were gathered together. And they said to them, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that happened on the road and how that he was known to them at the breaking of bread. So as we come to a conclusion, let me just remark on this, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We who are the redeemed have the same hope in us as the men after they saw Jesus that they had in their hearts, because they were very different men. from when we first read about them walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they were sad. But when Jesus explained everything and their eyes were opened, their hearts were filled. And they said to them, "Did our hearts not burn as they spoke, as Jesus spoke to them?" You see, the closer that you get to God, the more his words will burn in your heart. But consider those who have not heard the word, who have not heard the gospel message, and that do not have that hope, that do not share in that hope. And I will encourage each and every one of us, if we have opportunity, to share with those that we know that haven't heard the gospel message. It is the most important message they can ever hear. In every way that you can, share with those people. Just share with them, even if it's only, you just remember, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Share it with them, that they can hear that message as well. So now, friends, you can leave this place with a hope in your heart, strong in spirit, and confident in your eternal security with God. A confidence that is so high, it will soar like the eagles, far above the highest mountains. So as we close, and Beverly and the worship team get ready to come back to the stage, let's pray.
Can I just say something, Brian?
Mm. Yes.
The reason to follow Christ is he's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody ever else is, only Christ.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Paul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you on this occasion where our thoughts just turn back to Jesus, to the work that he did on the cross. And thank you so much, Father, that through the ages that you worked all things together, all to the point of his resurrection. And that in Jesus we have hope. In Jesus we have life. If we but look to him as our Lord and our Saviour and put our faith in him, he will forgive us all our sins. He will redeem us from the death that holds us, Lord. But each one that is forgiven, each one that has a renewed spirit, also has a new life and a new hope. Lord, and I thank you for all the good things that we have in Christ. And I pray that each one of us this morning not only realizes that hope and grasps and take hold of it and gives you thanks for it and praises your holy name for it, but Lord, as we are able, as you give us strength, help us also to share that message of hope with others as we go into the week. In Jesus' name we give you glory, praise, and honor.